Welcome to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Thanks very much for tuning in to your local campus and community radio station on a Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock, for this is the airtime of everybody's favorite poetry and technology program, that being Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I appreciate you stopping by this afternoon. It's an exciting time here on the campus of the University of California at Davis, for 30,000 students have descended upon our sleepy little hamlet, making it very difficult for them and for the rest of us to travel by bicycle, automobile, or on foot. Also, I expect hordes of people to head over to the farmers market right after this radio show, because, of course, they're all listening, and enjoy the live music and the fresh produce. My thoughts this afternoon, though, are only on my guests, and soon you will see why. In the first half of the program, we'll be joined by Lane Russell. She is a Redding, California-based poet. She's also a singer-songwriter and a dancer. She was born in Chico, raised in Redding. She received her degree in English from California State University, Chico, where she studied poetry and creative writing with George Keithley. She did postgraduate work in religious studies at CSU Chico and in the arts and religious studies at Naropa Institute in Boulder, Colorado. We're going to get her on the live line in just a moment, and we're going to share with you some of her poetry. Her poetry has appeared in a great number of publications and anthologies. And then, in the second half of the program, we'll hear from at least two dynamos in the world of social networking. We heard a few weeks ago from Chase McMichael today, who worked for Oracle for a long time and is currently the CEO of his own company. Today we're also going to be joined by Murray Newlands, who is a respected digital marketing advisor, and Mark Schmulen, who is the general manager of social media at Constant Contact. I got to meet all three of these gentlemen at a conference on social networking and email this past Friday in San Francisco, and I was so intrigued by their collective presentations that I invited them to come on the show in the second half hour and talk about some of the work that they do. Murray Newlands has also organized another conference on related topics in October in San Francisco, and he's going to tell us about that. We'll also have some tickets to give away to that important event. So we're mixing together, folks, the poetry and the technology, the ancient technology of the telephone, as I'm about to phone Lane Russell in Redding, California, and brand new Web 2.0 technologies that help link us all in a fast-paced way as we talk about social media with at least two of these three experts. It's an exciting time for you to have stopped by your favorite radio station, KDBS, to hear today's edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back.
programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
I'd like to thank the Yolo County Federal Credit Union for sponsoring this show and for their support of KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Lane Russell will join me in just a moment on this radio show. Lane Russell is a poet, she's a singer-songwriter, and a dancer. She's a Northern Californian, natively born in Chico and raised in Redding. As I mentioned earlier, she earned her undergraduate degree at CSU Chico, studying poetry with George Keithley, and then did postgraduate work at CSU Chico, as well as in religious studies at Naropa Institute in Boulder, Colorado. While living in Vancouver, she studied and performed with local and touring minimalist dancers and multimedia artists. Her meditative, metaphysical background and orientation comes through subtly and naturally in her writing. Her poems reveal the inherent beauty and consciousness in everyday life. Also, being a dancer and musician, Lane writes with a heightened, rich sense of sound and rhythm. She's an award-winning poet. Her publications include Last Visit, a collection of poems inspired by her mother, who passed away in 1994, A Quiet Place, and Into the Dark Mountain, a collection of mountain poetry and haiku. I'm very pleased that she could join us today. Lane Russell, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
I'm very happy to be here.
And it's wonderful to hear your voice on the live line here at KDVS. You are living in Redding, and we have lots of new listeners this week. Some locally in the Sacramento Valley and many others on the World Wide Web. So I'm wondering if you could give folks a sense of Redding, and especially its distance from other cities in California they might be familiar with.
A sense of Redding. Now, could you be more specific?
Sure. How far away is it from Sacramento? Oh, what sort of town is Redding?
Yeah,
what's it known for?
It's about 2.25 hours from the Sacramento airport.
Mm-hmm.
And not too far from the Bay Area, 7 hours south of Portland. We're at the very tip-top of the Sacramento Valley, so we're surrounded by mountains on three sides, and the Sacramento River rolls through town.
Wonderful.
That's the best part.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, the mountains and the river, that's my favorite.
And it sounds like that those mountains and that river, that they provide you a unending source of inspiration for your poetry.
It's true. And also there's definitely more seasonal change here. I lived in Sonoma County for 26 years, and it was a little more mild and slightly less change there. Very beautiful, but we were very happy to move north to the mountains.
Excellent.
Even though we're not in them, we're surrounded by them. So
you can see them over the course of your day.
Oh, yes, every day. Because Redding has lots of hills. There are many, many vistas. And you can always catch a glimpse of Shasta and Lassen and the Trinities from here.
Wonderful. Well, I mentioned your background a little bit, the time that you spent at Chico, down in Boulder. And I'm wondering, as well as your interest in dance and in metaphysics and in religion, and I'm wondering how these different influences manifest themselves in the poetry you write.
I find that it all works together. I find that there are so many similarities in creating dance, music, poetry, and other writing. and also photography. It has so much to do with light, composition, contrast, dynamics, lots of space. Of course, you need that definition, that you need that space in there, too. And it's true of all those artistic forms. So, I don't know, sometimes I feel I can almost slip from one medium to another.
Mm-hmm.
I can be inspired in one area, and, for instance, a poem may later become a song, or I may, from what I hear internally, I may, believe it or not, I may feel like dancing. It just, I don't know, it all works together for me.
Wonderful. Good for you. Well, tell me a little bit more about your history as a writer. Do you think of yourself first as a poet? And what was it that first inspired you to turn to poetry?
What inspired me first? It seems like it was always there in a way, as was music and dance. I'm not sure what I could say inspired me first as a poet, but I just began writing very, very young. I was writing simple little things like, you know, the roses are red type stuff, greeting card things. My first real poem, I would say, was in the seventh grade, and I got more serious in high school. It was just a very important form of expression for me.
Excellent. Well, if you're just joining us, Lane Russell is my guest this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. She is a Reading-based poet who lived in Sonoma County for many years. I met her a good long time ago at an event at the Sacramento Poetry Center, and it's a treat for me to talk to her for the first time on the telephone. Lane, we're going to take a quick break and hear a public service announcement.
Okay.
And then when we return, I'll ask to hear a sample of your poetry.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. And this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
And here's an important message from Country Home Care. Country Home Care reminds us that the elderly are often the forgotten people in our community. If you know a senior citizen with nutritional or transportation needs, lend a hand. If you know a senior with little or no family, lend your heart. This message is brought to you by Country Home Care, Home Health Services in Elk Grove. More information about Country Home Care is available at 916-691-4100, or you can visit their website at www.rmcare.com. They're on the air because they care about the elderly in our community. This is Dr. Andy Jones, host of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. Very happy to have you here tuning in to your local campus and community radio station. Lane Russell is my guest this afternoon. She is a singer-songwriter and a dancer, but we're focusing on her poetry today, and I've asked her if she would be willing to share with us a sample of her work. Lane, what have you picked out to read this afternoon?
I'm going to read Branches.
Great.
Tea named Sky Between the Branches, hot with sugar and latte, drunk in with three jazz guitars and sax. I write in darkness as lit rain falls outside a wall of green-framed windows, and distant nights in Canada drive by on wet streets. Time is an angel lost in the night, looking for morning in breath of sax and guitar fingers. I remember the alley in Vancouver where jazz fell from the tiny doorway headlong into the sleepy night, and inside life grooved and music moved till dawn. The same sky between branches carries the night on 18 strings and blown, molded air.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you.
When you reflect on a poem like that one, and you might be able to reflect on it while looking out a window at something beautiful and natural there in Reading, mm-hmm. Do you often connect back to those poetic influences? When you talk about branches, one thinks automatically, for instance, of Robert Frost. But I'm wondering what sort of influences have been most important to you, either poets who you've read, contemporary poets, or maybe some of your teachers. For instance, we spoke of George Keithley
George
before.
George Keithley. Yes, I was very inspired by George. He is so rooted in nature and life cycles. And I felt when I was studying with him at Chico that, you know, he was just kind of a compadre in a way because a lot of my work is very a lot of my work is very nature oriented, and then there are many other poets. I was very inspired by Ferlinghetti when I was in college,
mm-hmm.
and I actually have a poem here called Ferlinghetti on the Lawn, if there's time for that. And there are just so many that have inspired me. When I was a kid, I was just blown away when I first found Gerard Manley Hopkins.
Right.
His use of language just blew the top off. And he gave me permission to coin words. And I thought, my God, he was doing that ages ago, you know?
Sure.
This is amazing. And so often I hear new words and new kinds of phrases and ways of putting things together just kind of fall out of my brain or out of my heart. And kind of like Dylan gave us so much permission in songwriting, as did Joni Mitchell and many others.
Right.
Both Hopkins and also E.E. Cummings just gave us so much permission to play, to really play with the language. And I'm not sure what I'm reading today shows that, but a lot of my poetry is very playful with language.
Oh, I'm definitely hearing that. I'm glad that you brought up Ferlinghetti because I think you probably heard that the Jazz Beat Festival is coming back to Davis
mm-hmm.
on October 8th and 9th.
Yes.
And although...
I hope to be there.
Wonderful. I understand that the organizers of the Jazz Beat Festival have for years tried to get Ferlinghetti to come read his work. Of course, it's appropriate that it takes place at the John Itzulis Gallery because Ferlinghetti, like many poets, is also an artist mm-hmm. these years.
Yes.
So although he won't be coming this year, Michael McClure, the jazz poet who
yes.
55 years ago was actually at the Six Gallery reading that unveiled Howl and presented it to the world. He'll be reading with Ray Manzarek of The Doors on October 9th. And so that'll be pretty exciting in and of itself.
Oh, very, very. I hope to be there.
Excellent. Well, if you're just joining us, Lane Russell is my guest this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. She is a poet and a singer-songwriter and a dancer. Her poems have been widely published, and we talked about the titles of three different publications, Last Visit, A Quiet Place, and Into the Dark Mountain. Lane, we're going to take a quick musical break, hear a public service announcement, and then come back with more of your poetry.
Very good.
You are listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis, heard throughout the world and perhaps beyond at kdvs.org. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
I held you in my arms. Your embraces and your kisses, oh, I can't forget the love we shared yesterday.
High school international student exchange programs provide opportunities for local high school students who are interested in becoming exchange students in a foreign land for an academic year or a summer program. Exchange students live with a caring host family while attending high school and learning about the language, the people, and the culture of a chosen host country. If you know a high school student who'd be interested in this opportunity, contact Nona Skinner at 1-800-733-2773. Brought to you by KDVS 90.3 FM. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're talking about some events coming up, and I thought I should remind you that a week from Wednesday, I believe it is, on October 6th, will be joined by Doreen Jeanette at the Poetry Night Reading Series. Doreen Jeanette has been on this radio show before. She earned a PhD at the University of Georgia, where she worked on the Georgia Review. And she has a new book out, just released this past season, called Urchin to Follow. It's won a number of prizes, and Doreen Jeanette's poetry is highly and widely regarded. She lives in the area, and she'll be giving the reading that will spark, will launch her poetry book tour on October 6th at Bistro 33 here in the city of Davis. If you'd like more information about this particular event or any of the Poetry Night readings, then point your browser at poetryindavis.com. Lane Russell is my guest this afternoon. I've reached her on the live line at Reading. You were talking before about some of your favorite poets, Lane, and about Gerard Manley Hopkins.
Yes.
But you also mentioned Ferlinghetti, and we often associate the Beat Poets with the Naropa Institute in mm-hmm. Boulder. So I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how what you learned about poetry or the arts or religion was different at in Boulder than, say, what you learned in Chico or before.
When I was at Naropa University, it was the first summer that it opened. It's it's kind of a well-known period for people who know anything about Naropa, a very fascinating time. And at that time, I was writing, of course, but I wasn't taking any writing courses. I was focusing on dance, studying with Barbara Dilley, with whom I had studied earlier in Vancouver, both with her and Yvonne Rainer. And so I did a lot of dance there and also Buddhist studies. So the mainstay of the Buddhist studies were the courses given by Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche himself.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was a couple nights a week, every week, and very charged, just wonderful. I don't know what to tell you. I've been a student of Tibetan Buddhism for many, many years, along with Advaita Vedanta. And that was a real high point to be at Naropa.
The
atmosphere was incredibly exciting and creative.
I'm sure. Well, we're running up against the bottom of the hour here. Do you have a short poem that you could share with us?
Yes. How about Ferlinghetti on the Lawn?
Excellent. Let's hear it.
Okay. 1967, Chico State. I lie with Nancy, tummies down on towels, bikinied in deep June grass. Ferlinghetti open in my hands opens me, a Coney Island of the mind indeed. Page after page, the ninja poet's lines dance and pierce. I look over at Nancy, she's now face up, eyes closed, under Chico's sun, her white blonde hair flows across a sky blue towel. Listen to this. Beauty stands and waits with gravity to start her death-defying leap. Wow, she says softly and looks over at me, hand shading her pool blue eyes.
Oh, that's very nice. What a delightful memory.
Thank you.
Lane Russell, is there a place where on the web where people can find out more about you if they're so inclined?
My poetry website is whiteowlweb.com. It's terribly out of date. I need to get back to it. But as a website designer, I'm working on everybody else's site,
right,
not my own. And I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter, so I'm pretty easy to find.
Excellent.
Just put in Lane Russell.
Well, I really enjoyed your poetry this afternoon, and I hope to have another opportunity to see you in person at the Jazz Beat Festival coming up on October 8th and 9th here in the city of Davis.
That would be wonderful.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for appearing on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around because we are going to enjoy a radical shift from poetry to technology in just a moment here on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis.
Ah, here's some pointers for parents. Heavy computer use by children may put them at risk for nearsightedness. According to a new study, as many as 30% of children in the U.S. who use computers are putting undue stress on their eyes. The study claims these children should receive regular exams by an eye doctor. For more information, visit www.checkyearly.com or call 1-800-424-8422, extension 45, and ask for item CYA.
Thanks, everyone, for sticking with us as we enjoy this transition from poetry to the world of technology. I'm joined this afternoon by Mark Schmulin. Mark Schmulin is the general manager of social media at Constant Contact, a company that provides email marketing software used to create professional HTML email campaigns. Mark is responsible for guiding Constant Contact's social media product strategy and external education efforts. And I saw him give a talk on Friday that was educational as well as substantive. He did a great job with that. Prior to working with Constant Contact, Mark served as CEO of Nutshell Mail, a social media monitoring solution that is now part of Constant Contact's suite of online marketing tools. Mark says of his products that he started Nutshell Mail to help solve the problem of social network overload, which I think all of us suffer from. As part of the Constant Contact family, we're going to help some of the busiest people on the planet, Mark once said, small business owners, turn what might seem like social media chaos into a smart marketing tool for growing their businesses. It's like a DVR for your social networking activity. I love my DVR. And so I'm very curious to hear what Mark has to say, and I'm glad that I can welcome him to this radio show. Mark Schmulin, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hello, and good afternoon. It's great to be on the show with you today, Dr. Andy.
Good afternoon, and great to talk to you. I want to dive into Constant Contact and social media in just a moment, but I'd love to hear more about the work that you did in were you the founder of Nutshell Mail?
Yes, I'm one of the original founders of Nutshell Mail.
And I'm curious to hear, because we have lots of listeners who themselves are small business owners who are innovative, who are programmer types, and who'd be curious to know how it was that you were able to found the company with others, and how the relationship with Constant Contact is working now that Nutshell Mail has been acquired, if you will, by Constant Contact.
Yeah, I would be more than happy to share my story. It's a story that had a bunch of ups and downs, but ultimately a happy ending. I'm sure a lot of entrepreneurs out there and also those who are working for corporations today will relate with me. I graduated from the University of Pennsylvania in 2003. And like so many people, I was very eager to go to Wall Street. And so after college, I went straight to work for J.P. Morgan, working as an investment banker. And it was a fantastic education for me. I learned so much. But after 3 years or so, my learning curve sort of started to plateau.
Right.
And I wanted a new challenge. And I also wanted to do something in a new field. And around that time, social media was getting really, really popular. I noticed that I was managing multiple social networking accounts. And I wanted to create an easy way for me to manage all those social networks. So I contacted one of my best friends from childhood, a guy who I actually went to middle school, high school, and college with, and shared my idea, and he thought it was great. And so I took the big leap after doing a whole bunch of due diligence, and I told my best friend David, I said, let's start this company to make it really easy for people to manage all of their social connections. And so I moved from New York back home to where I grew up, which was Houston, Texas, and started this company with my best friend. And we pulled together a great team of developers. We were bootstrapping. We didn't raise any money at first. Then we developed a prototype, and were able to raise a little bit of money from some friends and family.
Right.
As we were running out of that money, we were looking for any opportunity to try to raise more money. The capital markets were really, really difficult back then, and they still are today, but especially for a young bootstrap company with no revenue. And we got a lucky break. We applied to join the Facebook Fund Incubator Program, and we were fortunate enough to be accepted. And that took us from Houston, Texas, out to Palo Alto, California. And we actually got to spend 3 months working in Facebook's offices and going through an incubator program that was run by Dave McClure, who is a great resource. He's a venture capitalist, but just one of the most brilliant people when it comes to starting a business. And we spent 3 months. We learned so much and had such a good time out here in this environment where there's so many like-minded people that we decided to stay. And we were also able to raise a little bit of money along that time. And Nutshell Mail started to grow, and we found that it was a tool that both consumers were using to manage all their social networks, but also small businesses. And I think that's really what piqued Constant Contact's interest. And turns out it's a tool that Constant Contact customers have really embraced. We were acquired by Constant Contact in May, and we were very enthusiastic to join the Constant Contact team. You know, when you first gave that wonderful introduction, I noticed that you referred to Constant Contact as the email marketing company.
Uh-huh.
And for the past 10 years since Constant Contact started, it at one point was a startup itself. It's now a publicly traded company with hundreds of thousands of paying customers who use their tools to send out email campaigns to all their customers. But we also started integrating all sorts of social media features. Then we brought on, then when they brought on Nutshell Mail, we realized, well, you know, we're not just an email marketing company. We're also a social media marketing company. We've really integrated a lot of great social media features into our email products, and we're building a lot of great products to help small businesses manage their social media presence as well. So I would say that Constant Contact is not just an email marketing company, but also a social media marketing company as well.
And that's true in part because of the work that you continue to do there as the general manager of social media at Constant Contact. Well, that's great. I want to hear more about that, but let's remind folks who might just be joining us now that Mark Schmulin is my guest. And are you living in Palo Alto?
I am living down in Menlo Park, actually.
Uh-huh.
But Constant Contact, which is a Boston-based company, is really excited to announce that we're opening up our San Francisco office in mid-October.
Oh, that does sound great. Well, this is peripherally connected to the world of technology, but I think a lot of folks in California look to Palo Alto, Menlo Park, some of the big and famous companies that are headquartered in that area, in the way that, say, people on the East Coast might look to Wall Street and New York as the place to go where the money's being made, where there are a lot of exciting connections, really smart people, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm wondering if you could comment for just a moment about the extent to which there was a radical culture shift as well as geographic shift for you moving from Houston to Silicon Valley.
Well, let me just first say this. You do not need to move to the Silicon Valley to be successful in technology.
Right.
There's a lot of great businesses that are in technology that have started in Houston, Texas, in Austin, Texas, Boulder, Colorado, Seattle, Boston, New York. But what I will say, when we moved out here, we did notice that there is an ecosystem where you can walk down the street and hear people talking about SEO and walk into a cafe and people are talking about the new viral application they just built on Facebook. And it's because of that ecosystem, and there's so many like-minded people, that your chances for success, if you are in technology, and in particular building a company in the social media space, I think your chances of success may be increased by being out here. But in no means does that mean for you to just pack up your bags and move out here. And I would say part of that is because of the ecosystem and the people that are out here. I also think that you get a different type of investor out here. They've been surrounded by all these success stories, and so their risk aversion perhaps is less than where you might find in other parts of the country. People out here will invest in an idea or a prototype, whereas if you were in other parts of the country, they might want to see more traction. We want to see you get to 1 million users. We want to see you get to 1 million in revenue. And as an entrepreneur, that can be frustrating because you're thinking, well, hey, buddy, if I got to 1 million in revenue, I probably wouldn't be calling you because the best way to fund a business is through revenue.
Right.
I think so many entrepreneurs forget that.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a quick musical break. Mark Schmulin is my guest this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. And we're talking about the culture and the opportunities provided by a variety of technologies with a focus on social media. And when we return, I'm going to ask Mark Schmulin if he'd be willing to tell us a little bit more about the sort of challenges that many of us face when dealing with information overload in a world that where we're increasingly spending more time interacting with social media, more so than, say, we are email. And Mark, at some point I'll also try to get Chase McMichael back on the live line, and we can talk about this conference coming up, too.
That would be fantastic.
All right. You are listening, folks, to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around. Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. As many of you music enthusiasts probably guessed, we're celebrating the music of Arturo Sandoval this afternoon. This is from his CD Hot House, and this particular tune is called Tito. No doubt. Sending some props out to, a big shout out to, as my friend Dr. Doug says on another radio show, a big shout out to Tito Puente. I have Mark Schmulin on the live line here on KDBS, and he is the general manager of social media at Constant Contact. And I should mention that he's going to be part of an event that's coming up on the 21st of October at the Hotel Nico in San Francisco. It's called Monitoring Social Media. And it's a conference that will bring together leading brands, PR, and marketing experts to discuss the latest ideas, trends, and techniques in social media monitoring and measurement. My good news for you all today is that if you're interested in checking out this conference, and if you head over to, or if you Google Monitoring Social Media San Francisco, you'll find out more. If you head over to that website, you'll see that there are a great number of interesting speakers talking on topics that I'll ask Mark to preview in just a moment. And I have some codes here that, as a listener of KDVS, will get you 10% off of the entrance fee for that particular conference. I also have two tickets to give away, which I would like to do. And I'll let you know about that at the end of the hour. But first, let's bring Mark Schmulin back. And Mark, I'll let you run with this. But if you had to talk for a little bit about the ways that small business people and really any kind of entrepreneur have to keep a handle on a variety of social networks, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and others. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about those particular challenges and what sort of tools are available for people working in small business to try to address those challenges.
Absolutely. Let me tell you, something really interesting happened in this past year. And it's this. At Constant Contact, we're no longer hearing customers ask, should I be using Facebook? Should I be on Twitter? Should I be using other social media sites? They get it. They know they should be there.
Right.
What they're asking is, how can I use these tools effectively? How can I get real business results? It's not just about, you know, getting as many fans on Facebook as possible and as many followers on Twitter. How can I actually get real business results, grow my relationships with my existing customers, get them to come in the store more often, and more importantly, how can I use these tools to acquire more customers? And what's really interesting is that we're seeing a lot of great success with our customers that are just getting out there and experimenting. Our customers are learning, hey, you know what? This social media thing is not that hard. It works. And if I just jump in there and try it, I'll notice some results. And that's because social media is really changing the way that we connect. It's also changing the way we discover and share information. And what's so amazing is that people are out there talking about businesses and brands that they love, and they're sharing it with their friends. It's all about word-of-mouth marketing. This is nothing new. I mean, we've always known that people trust recommendations from their friends and other peers more than they do an ad from a brand itself.
Right.
And that's really where social media gets so exciting, is that it's taking us away from a one-way communication into a two-way dialogue. Our business customers are learning that it's not just a place to talk about themselves and how great they are. There's certainly a place for that. But it's also a place for you to learn about your customers, who they are, what their needs are, what are their preferences, and what are their perception of your brand. It's the ultimate feedback loop. And as you start listening to your customers and start responding to things that they're saying to you and about you, what happens is you start building deeper relationships. They get to know you better. They get to trust you better. They like you more. And when people know, like, and trust you, they start to share your message with their friends. And it's just really amazing to see how social media, combined with other marketing channels, are really helping our customers succeed.
So would the focus on monitoring social media of this conference coming up in San Francisco on October 21st, is that mostly an issue of paying attention to how one's brand is being talked about, or is it more about encouraging people to talk about or talk up a particular brand or business?
It's a little bit of both. They're both tied together. I think it's important for everyone to understand with social media, just as it is with everyday conversations, those that are effective at it are those that listen. You have to be a good listener to be a good conversationalist. And it's true for social media marketing. This isn't just about broadcasting. I think Brian Solis, who is one of the best thought leaders in the space, put it really well when he said this about social media marketing. He said that we're no longer broadcasters, but rather we're participants in a conversation with the very people that we're trying to influence. And what that means is we have to listen. We have to know what people are saying about us and what people are saying to us. And a lot of our customers are like, well, I'm concerned what if people are saying negative things about me. And so I tell them, well, hey, if a tree falls in the woods, can you still hear it? And the answer is, of course, it makes a sound. I kind of butchered that quote, didn't I? But the point is that people are talking about your brand, whether you're participating or not.
Right.
And for the most part, it's positive. But when it's negative, if you can jump in that conversation when appropriate and help lead the conversation and actually resolve a problem, something special happens. Study after study proves that if you resolve a customer's problem,
they're more likely to buy from you the next time around than a customer that had a great experience from the very first time.
Interesting. Well, it's very exciting time to be an entrepreneur. I would think, though, that it's also much more work intensive for, say, a one-person startup, for example, to try to pay attention to this, monitor it, to include tweets, to update one's blog, to represent the company on Facebook with updates from time to time. Sounds like a lot of work, and potentially work that would distract one from doing the very work of the company itself.
We hear that all the time, and we've seen success stories from large corporations like Zappos or Old Spice. And so our customers say, well, hey, I don't have $1 million marketing budget, and I don't have an entire marketing team. In many cases, it's one person running the entire show. And, you know, when they look at social media, they think, oh, here's yet another thing that I have to do when I don't have enough time in the day.
Right.
And what we're telling them is it doesn't have to take a lot of time. You can be effective at social media marketing by committing 5 to 10 minutes a day. But you have to make it easy on yourself by using tools that make it easy for you to listen to what people are saying. And that's ultimately why we created Nutshell Mail. Nutshell Mail basically works like your own personal assistant. While you're busy tending to your business and getting things done, Nutshell Mail is monitoring all your social media sites and collecting all your social media messages and activities and organizing it into a very easy-to-read email digest, which is then delivered right to your email inbox at times that are convenient for you. So you can actually customize it to deliver a digest of all your activity when it's right for you. So you can get it at noon every day. You can get it at 5. You can get it every hour. You can get it once a week. It's all up to you. And our customers love this because they can focus on getting things done throughout the day and know that here they have this consolidation of everything that they need to take care of. And so they go into their email inbox, which, despite how frustrated many of us are with email, it still is the hub of our communications.
Right.
And they can read what's going on, and then they can actually respond back into Facebook and Twitter and other social networks right through their email inbox. So they're finding that, hey, I can actually listen to the conversations and respond to my customers and prospects in 5 to 10 minutes a day.
I see what you mean. Well, it's fascinating, and I'm always a fan of any technology that simplifies the kind of fire hose of information that's always threatening to knock us down and allow us to make more sense of it and to interact with people, whether it be, say, running a one-person startup or much of the arts activism work that I do, trying to run poetry readings, host a radio show, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot to follow there. And I, like many other one-person enterprises, I certainly need some help. So it sounds like an interesting avenue to go. Well, I don't know how much you've already researched other folks who are speaking at this Monitoring Social Media conference, but do you have any last word on why you think it would be worth people's time to check that out?
Absolutely. You know, this conference is being produced by Influence People, which is a company out of the UK, and they just are so connected to some of the brightest people in the industry. And so if you come to this conference later in October, you're going to hear from some of the brightest minds in social media talking about how social media marketing works for both large enterprises as well as small businesses, as well as for individuals and entrepreneurs. So I don't actually have the speaker names in front of me, so
that's
I'm not
right.
Going to try to kill off a minute.
We wouldn't have time even if you did, so that's fine.
Well, I'm sure you can go to influencepeople.com and see all the events that they're running throughout the U.S. and the U.K. There is a link for the monitoring conference coming up. But, Andy, maybe you can share the actual URL for the conference to make it easier on your listeners.
Well, one thing I wanted to do is remind folks that I've got 2 tickets to this particular conference. So if you are able to sneak out of the area and over to San Francisco on a Thursday and you have from 9 to 6:30 available, then I can make that happen. So folks who are interested could drop me an email at aojones@gmail.com. That's A-O as in Andy O. Jones at gmail.com. And I will set you up with tickets. Any listener who would like to get 10% off, I also have been given a code for that. And again, it's the Monitoring Social Media Conference in San Francisco on October 21st. I'm looking forward to going myself, and maybe there will be carpooling opportunities as well. Well, Mark Schmulin, this has been a lot of fun to hear your perspective on all of this. I appreciate you telling me about your work at Constant Contact and about your attempts to make all of this this kind of grand mix of different media and social media sources that we all are responsible for following to make it a little bit more manageable.
Well, it's my pleasure to be on the show. And just in case I didn't hit home on it, Nutshell Mail is actually a free service that you can use whether you are a paying Constant Contact customer or not. And you can sign up for your free account at nutshellmail.com, or you can sign up through Constant Contact and check out all our educational resources around social media marketing at constantcontact.com/social media.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you very much, Mark Schmulin, for appearing on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Take care.
You too.
Regular listeners to this program know that I'm going to be teaching a class for the Graduate School of Management in the fall for the first time. And so often we're going to be exploring in the coming weeks how technology, social media, and the business world can intersect in interesting ways. But we'll always interrupt that with some poetry and some jazz. I've got an important message for you. And that's this. Cook Engineering Incorporated reminds us to do what we can to help preserve and protect our environment. Recycling bottles, cans, plastic, and paper are some of the important things that we can do. We can make a safer home, work, and school environment by checking for and removing hazardous materials such as lead and asbestos. This important message is brought to you by Cook Engineering Incorporated in Rancho Cordova. They can be reached at 916-631-1365 or at cookengineering.com. They care about the people in this community. I care about all of you and am deeply appreciative that you tuned in to KDBS this afternoon. I'd also like to thank my two guests. Lane Russell is the poet, singer, songwriter, and dancer who has done a lot of important work as a web designer herself as well as a poet. Someone should give her own radio show. And then we also heard from Mark Schmulin, the general manager of social media at Constant Contact, which is a company that provides email marketing software as well as social media help when creating professional HTML, email, and social media campaigns. Stick around because we've got some great music coming up. Next week I'll have some more poets on this radio show. They're finding me on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen, and clamoring to appear on everybody's favorite poetry and technology program, this one. I'll see you next week on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.